Just want to declare and acknowledge that we are so dependent on you. We need you, Jesus. We needed the resurrection. And we just come today and we say thank you. Thank you that you gave your life for us. Thank you that you died in our place. Father God, thank you that Jesus Christ is alive today. Thank you that you are the one who was, who is, and who is to come. In the name of Jesus, we just give this time to you, Lord. Come and have your will. Amen. Amen. So I am barefoot this morning there because I left my shoes there. And I thought it was so on my heart, kaalvoet voor die kruis. And I truly believe Jesus wants us to take off your shoes and just be vulnerable at the cross today, because we can, and because he's already done that. He was the most vulnerable there on that cross, open arms, but yet he had so much authority. So that's the one thing that I really believe and I trust for this morning, that we will take off our shoes, symbolically or just in your heart. Take off your shoes, take off what's happening in your heart at the moment. And then also, it came to mind while we were praise and worshiping that there was a lot of people who started believing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he had a lot of followers. So that day when he died on the cross, there must have been some uncertainty of what is happening. Why aren't you saving yourself? What is happening here? And I believe a lot of times there's a lot of us that's in an uncertain time. There's a few things in our lives that might be uncertain, and it's almost those 3 days that it's like, oh, it's not the resurrection yet, but he already died. What am I supposed to do in this 3 days? So that's the other thing that was just on my heart while we were worshiping. And may we come back to that place where we know that we know that we know that he is risen. And that we trust, even if it feels like the 3 days in between, that we will know he will rise on the third day. So, the topic for today is alive, short and sweet, because that is what Jesus Christ is for us today. And I want us to read from Mark 16, verse 1 to 8. You can read with me this good news. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Oh, my English is vandaag horrible, maar okay, ons gaan aan. I thought I can preach in Afrikaans because it's the morning service, and then I realized it's a combined one, so bear with the English. And then they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? What? Tomb. Tomb. Okay, tomb. And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for the trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. There's one thing I want us to see there, just when he said, he has risen, he is not here. He is risen, he is not here. And do not be afraid, do not be alarmed. And a lot of times I think we are still looking for Jesus there in the tomb. We're looking for the body. And it's weird because he's not there. It's not making sense of our heads, but we want to make sense of this. And he's not there. And they didn't go out and because they were afraid. That uncertain thing. But where is he now? Is he risen? What to trust God beyond our understanding? And that is so beautiful for me this morning, that we can know that he is risen. Even if a lot of times in our minds we don't feel it or we don't understand it, that we will just come back to that place. And this brings me to a question that I want you to just for 2 minutes share with the person next to you. What makes you believe Jesus is alive? If we think about taking off our shoes today, just go back to basics. Like sometimes we get so much to the add-ons and to the what we're supposed to do for God and what are we doing here and all of that. But just remembering again in your own life, why do you believe that Jesus Christ is alive? If there's anything in your heart that you want to share with the person next to you, just thinking about this again. Why are you sitting here today? Why did you come? So I'll give you 2 minutes, then we'll go on. I just want to share now, someone also said here that in the moments when we're most desperate, someone said if you hit rock bottom, it's good because the only way you can go is up from that. But then Jesus always comes through. It's like the disciples when Jesus died there, that moment of uncertainty, but then he's risen on the third day. But I want us today, there's two questions in my heart. It says, what makes you believe that Jesus is alive? Just remembering that again. Because if I look at my own life and I think, yo, if I truly, truly believe that Jesus Christ is risen and he's walking right beside me and he's walking, he's within me because Jesus sent his helper for us, is my life testifying of that, that Jesus Christ is alive? Just my everyday life, my confidence, my courage, my trust in him, is that so? So then, if I realize, nee, ek het 'n bietjie meer vrese as geloof tans, type of thing, then it's good to go and remind myself again, why do I believe that Jesus Christ is alive? And to stir each other, stir faith of testimonies again. So, I got this point from David Foster, and he said 10 points of why he believes. And I want us to just think about Jesus Christ today again, just his life and reflect about that. And his durability. After 2,000 years of controversy, opposition, rage, and anger, Jesus still remains the only constant, durable message of hope the world has ever known. He just won't be ignored. He's being the fulfillment of prophecy. His life, ministry, and work were all predicted hundreds and hundreds of years before they ever happened. And they occurred exactly as they were predicted and prophesied, when Jesus could have not had no possible control. His teachings. While we have tried to civilize Jesus in our culture, his teachings are indeed radical. If we followed his teachings to the letter, we wouldn't have the violence and war that we have today. His teachings are recognized as morally superior, even by those who do not recognize his deity. And then his life has been the subject of study, controversy, expose and research. And because of the life he lived, the impact of that life still remains today. Are you guys still with me? Ons 10 punte, ons gaan aan. Okay. His promises. Jesus promised, for example, that he'd come to give life. That he'd come to give rest. Jesus promised that his church would prevail. Jesus promised that eternity would be good for those who could believe. And for me, one thing is the bride of Christ, the church. If I think about the dark ages and what we've been through, and me as his bride, because I'm also the temple of God as you are, but the church still remains through all the dark ages. That's also a testimony for me that Jesus Christ is alive and that he loves his church. So just to emphasize there as well. And then his global impact, when billions of people around the planet today still claim the name of Jesus as the Messiah, as their Savior and Lord, it cannot be ignored. His love is the greatest redemptive force on planet Earth. He was a prophet of love. He preached and taught love and exemplified the greatest love when he sacrificed his love for us, even while we were yet toward him and had nothing to offer. And then his accomplishments. This is so beautiful. Jesus owned nothing, wielded no power, held no office, didn't travel far from his own home, and had only 12 official followers when he died. And yet from that small beginning, he has achieved an epic presence in the world for over 2,000 years. His courage, it was his courage in the face of opposition, of beating, of mockery, of betrayal, his steadiness of purpose, and his singularity of mission that allowed him to move forward, even into spaces where he knew he would be betrayed and crucified. And then his inclusivity, Jesus was and is an includer. While a lot of religious legalism today is intent on drawing the circle small enough to exclude people. Okay. Jesus was always a big circle person. He drew the circle to include whosoever will may come. He hung around people of questionable reputation. And I think there's many more. This is just 10 points that we can reflect on this morning. Just remembering again who this Jesus Christ is that we claim that we believe in. And if we go to the next slide, I want us to think, what does the empty tomb, hierdie graf, die oleë graf of Christ, mean in the life of a believer? What does this mean in our lives this morning? And if we can go to the next slide. The first point I want to make is his resurrection brings hope for salvation. We all need that salvation. And if we read from Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15, you were dead in your trespasses, but made alive together with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, set aside, nailing to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. What an amazing assurance this morning that we can have. Our salvation, remembering the joy of our salvation, going back to that day when we realized how much we need God. And what I realized is that we often quickly depart from that place again. I remember I love Malawi, so I thought I would always want to go just every 6 months. Otherwise, I'm just losing perspective again. Just to get back to basics, back to that place of what is really about. And to remember again this morning what makes you sit here. What is that joy of your salvation? And then his resurrection brings hope for resurrection, that we can live. That we can live. And what does that mean? So I want us to read from Revelations 1, verse 17 to 18. And Jesus said, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades." And then in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22 it says, "For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." I want to ask you this morning a question. Do you feel alive this morning? You may sit here, you may be here, but are you present? Are you here? Are you here? Are you alive? Or is there certain things in your heart that's been dying for quite some time? Is there certain things in your life where you've been taking control for quite some time? Are you still dependent on the message of today? Are you still hungry to know more? And I must confess, I for one, I realized I started really relying on my own strength a lot this last 8 months or something. And it's such a, although I feel like I'm not on a very lacquer place at the moment, it's such a good place to bring us back to that we know, that we know that we are dependent. And if you don't feel alive today, if your emotions tells you that you feel dead, that you feel uncertain, that it feels like you are in that in between 3 days, death before resurrection, I want to tell you that there is hope and that faith is that which you cannot see. But there is hope. And may the Holy Spirit stir that in our hearts this morning. And I also want to tell you, if your emotions tell you to be aware of something, to not just this, om het te onderdruk nie. Because a lot of times that will show you and direct you of what God is screaming at you to give some aandag, their attention. So may we be open. May we be open for surgery. But it's amazing. But we often want to know what exactly he wants to do. What will be the outcome? But may we be today asking God, Jesus, I feel dead. But there's something in me that believes that you are alive. And I want that life. Come and breathe in me again, Jesus Christ. I am dependent. Give me this life. I don't just want to die with you, but I also want to live for you. Someone once said he, at one point, he was ready to be a kamikaze pilot or whatever, to die for Jesus, just to go everywhere and I'll die. But then he felt Jesus asking him, will you live for me? Thank you that you are willing to die for me and that you are so passionate of doing this. But are you willing to live for me? Because if you are willing to live for me, that is sometimes harder than dying for me. But to take that and to live fully. So he brings hope for resurrection. And then what does it mean to be alive in Christ? Like we're saying, are we free? Is there life in my eyes? You know, we have this thinking pattern of like, hierdie Christene, ons moet maar net soos die minste wees, you know, and we have to walk like this almost pathetic. We have to suffer. We have to suffer en ons moet net nie te gelukkig lykie, want dan is ons selfsugtig, you know. But are we alive? Do we believe that it is finished? Do we believe that Jesus is risen? Sometimes other people that we might judge, they look a lot more alive for me than what we do. But it's like we have this slave mentality that we still have to earn it. Are we still looking for Jesus in the graf? Or do we actually believe that he's alive? And are we taking that? Are we receiving that? Or are we still trying to earn it with all the weight, the world's weight on our shoulders? And I've realized, you know, for me, I always wanted to try to be perfect to find my way into heaven. And I've really come to a place where I realized, Jesus Christ, I need you. And I am done performing. I am done performing. But that is where life is. When you can realize that you are done performing. But Holy Spirit, use me. Give hope for people that feels the same way this morning. That feels that they are still in that graf with Jesus. And just focus on the death. but they don't get to the place of the resurrection. Jesus wants us to be alive. He wants to give you a full life. But do you believe it? And you know, that testimony, if I think of, I want to reflect the image of God. I want it to be someone who has life in her eyes, who has hope in her eyes, who's not burned out, someone who's not trying to earn acceptance, pleasing men, fear of men, always thinking she has to do more. I think that's someone who has life, knowing that they know that they are incomplete, that they are broken. But hey, Jesus Christ is alive. And that is why I can celebrate today that it's truly not by might or power, but because He is risen in our lives. And we need to get back to that place. We need to take off our shoes and bend at the cross. Even if it takes 2 weeks. I took 2 weeks off. And I realized I can go on like this, or I can put my relationship with Jesus Christ first at this moment and get back to terms, ask for perspective, sit at His feet, go to the places I don't want to go, but be honest before the Lord. And I'm reading this book about spiritually healthy, emotional, healthy spirituality. God did not just give us a spirit. He gave us a soul. And that soul speaks loudly a lot of times. Our flesh as well. But we are over-spiritualizing conflict away a lot of times. We are running. I realize I am praying away the things that I actually need to face. And we can do great things for God a lot of times. But may we come back to that place of knowing our brokenness, knowing that we are willing to face it. So, surrendered. What keeps me back from fully living? Fear, control, shame, unforgiveness. May we lay that down today at the cross, those things in your life, whatever it is for you. Yeah, and there's just one point that I want to stand just a few minutes by, and that is the resurrection brings forgiveness. I believe this is the biggest thing that keeps us back, that brings bitterness in our lives. And like that says, unforgiveness is like taking poison but expecting someone else to die. And this morning, I believe There's a lot of people that we still maybe need to forgive, and you can maybe think of someone that's in your heart now, but I believe Jesus Christ wants you to forgive yourself this morning for a lot of things. Because once we've tasted and see that the Lord is good, once we've come to terms with our brokenness, once we've come to that place of just bending barefoot before the cross again, I believe we will have more forgiveness and grace in our hearts for other people as well. But we have to blame shift it to someone so that we can just feel better about ourselves at the moment. So may we know that Jesus Christ truly brought forgiveness on that cross. Forgiveness. Complete forgiveness. And may we make time to go and ask God, where is unforgiveness in my heart? What is keeping me back from living for you? Where's the lich in my oor? Where's the life in my eyes? What is keeping me back? Come and show me, Holy Spirit. I am open. That is bold to do that, because I believe He will come and show you. And that is not that lacquer always. But may we get to that place. And then the resurrection brings power over sin. That is amazing. Because if we are so sinful. So if it wasn't for that, dan was ons geskroef, mense. But hallelujah, the power, the resurrection brings power over sin. And I want to read Romans 8 verse 11. If the Spirit of whom who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Yet again, that life, are we living? And then the resurrection brings identity in Christ. So this, I want you to think about the power of sin, because we want to find our identity in other things the whole time, but also that identity in Christ. Why don't we live fully? Why do we worry about what other people think? Why do we still want to earn our salvation? I believe it's because I read this beautiful thing that says, knowing yourself so that you can know God as well, and knowing God so that you can know yourself as well. So the great temptation, this book tells us of how we become a false self. We walk, so we're not truly alive. We're walking with these masks that we're happy, and you know, Christian can't be disappointed for longer than 3 weeks, 2 days, because then there's something wrong. Where's your victory, sister? Where's your victory? Come, wear it. But are we honest? Are we honest for where we are at? Because if you want to taste true life, you have to come to terms. You have to be honest. You have to be barefoot, I believe, before the cross. And he says there's three things. When the enemy came to tempt Jesus, there were three things that he said. And the one thing, the temptation that we have is, I am what I do. Performance. The devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So do you believe Jesus could have done that? Yes. But he knew. He doesn't need to show himself like this. He doesn't need to perform. He knew who he was. So performance, I am what I do. And I believe that's bringing death over us. If you believe that. And then I am what I have. Possession. When the devil wanted Jesus, he wanted him to look around and see what everyone else has. Like, I will give you all of this. Yet he could stand. Because he said, it is written. Side note, reading our Bibles. What is written so that we can resist? I am what others think of me. Popularity. He asked Jesus to throw himself down from the highest spot. Show them what you can do. Yet again, popularity. Yeah, wouldn't it be awesome if we do not need to find our identity in those three things anymore? Don't you think there'll be a lot of weights off our shoulders? Don't you think we'll be able to dance more in the freedom of Jesus Christ, knowing that he's alive? Don't you think the root will be more relationship so that the fruit can be performance? But we have it upside down. We're trying to perform and I'm going to friggies uitkom van verhouding. But it's not how it works. May we overflow again. Believe we think like, ons gooi hierdie glas so, and then we take it and we're like, I just want to wet people. Like, yeah, voel jy hom. Als vir jou 'n druppeltjie, you know? Did it touch you? Amazing. There's another one. Do you want it? Okay, yo, Jesus, ek sien te sleg. Ek het dan iemand daar, ek sien die druppeltjie op sy hare. But God wants us, I wish I could do this. Just throw this thing over you guys. If there's anyone sleeping, you will awake now. are we overflowing? I want to ask myself, who are we kidding? Because we're definitely not kidding the world out there. Even if we believe it. We're not. Are we inclusive? Are we judging others so that we can feel better about ourselves? Or do we know who we are? Are we alive? Are we receiving what God has given us? His Son. His Son. And do we still remember that? And then the resurrection brings power for ministry. Truly, truly, I say to whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Wow. Greater works than what Jesus Christ has done. But from where will that come? From our own strength? Going out there? Feeling like this week I'll have enough courage to speak to that person in the office. This week. Or from surrendering our lives, acknowledging our brokenness, knowing that it's not by might or power, but by the Holy Spirit. Knowing that when the enemy comes and tell you, ja, maar hierdie en daai, and you don't have that, and you're not that popular, and you're not, that you'll know, okay, awesome. Hallelujah, I'm not, because when I'm weak, I'm strong. Jesus Christ, you are alive. Let's do this. I believe there's an adventure waiting for us. But we are still busy checking everything that we miss it. We miss it. I believe a lot of times. And sometimes we get it. Hallelujah. But may we have more adventures. And then the last slide is the resurrection brings communion with God. And I believe this is the Matthew 7 verse 21 says, I cast out demons in your name. I did this in your name. He said, I did not know you. Depart from me. This is the most beautiful thing. The resurrection brings communion with God. We can approach the living God because Jesus Christ is alive. And it says, in my Father's house on many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I don't know where you are this morning, but is it truth in your heart that Jesus Christ is the way in your circumstances at the moment, in your uncertainty, that He's the truth and that He's the life in those places where you feel dead this morning? Do we believe that? And even if you don't this morning, do you want to? Is there something in your heart that wants to believe this? And I want you to turn to the person next to you having communion and just tell them, what did you hear? What did you hear and what resonated with your heart this morning? Oh, Father, thank you that we can come together as brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you for times of uncertainty. Thank you for times where we feel so undone. Thank you for times where we hit a low that we can recognize, Jesus, I am nothing without you, and we need your life, your resurrection, the cross we need, Jesus. And we just come together as brothers and sisters, and we acknowledge that. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and breathe life in us again. Breathe life in those places, Lord. Thank you that you know. Thank you that you are a personal God. Thank you for your love. Thank you that your perfect love will cast out all fear in this place. Lord, I pray for every heart that feels that they still need to take control. I pray for those hands to open up and surrender in the name of Jesus. I pray for hearts that's willing to open up and say, come and do what you want to do. Clean in us, making us a pure heart, Lord. Clean our hearts so that we can see you, Lord. So Jesus, we come and we rejoice today because you are risen. Thank you that you are alive. And thank you because of that, that we can live freely. Show us how to do that daily, Jesus. Thank you that you are the beginning and the end. Thank you that we can be part of a story that started ages ago. Jesus, thank you that it's not about us, but about you. And thank you because of that, we can live and we can take courage. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.